Well, this evening, let's take the Word of God, if you have your Bibles, and turn to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. On Sunday evenings, we've been dealing with the book of Romans, and the book of Romans, as we've already established in the first chapter, is definitely much is said about the gospel. And the first week we talked about the gospel doesn't mean anything to us. It meant a lot to Paul. And he told the church at Rome that it ought to mean a lot to them, because it is not only he took the gospel as his personal responsibility, and he told the believers at Rome that it is their also personal responsibility. It is not given to a select few people to be the to propagate the gospel. It is given to every believer, and that is our responsibility. And it ought to mean a lot to us because of what it's done in our lives. And then we talked about the ingredients for worldwide faith. The Apostle Paul commended the church at Rome because he says, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And I pray that we'd have at First Day Baptist Church the same type of faith that the church at Rome have had. And may that'd be true of our church. And then we talked about the gospel, the power of God. And the Apostle Paul just basically shared why he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And there is really no reason for us to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For why? For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith. Now we come to Romans, and we're still in chapter 1, but we come to verse number 18. And we come to a very sober, important place in the first chapter of the book of Romans. So far, the Apostle Paul has turned the attention of the church at Rome in this letter towards the gospel, the importance of the gospel, towards their impact with the gospel, and concerning the power of the gospel. And now he's going to turn their attention towards really something that's very important, and that is kind of, he's going to give the history of humanity. That's what he's going to do at the end of chapter 1. And I thought to myself, well, it seems that it's not related as we look at chapter 1, but really it is related. Because the Apostle Paul is going to deal with the sinful condition of humanity. And may I say that the gospel cannot be listened to or heeded without having dealt with sin. The gospel has no purpose without sin being present. I hope that we understand that. That no one can be saved unless they understand their awareness of their own sinful condition. And so the Apostle Paul is going to give a summary of here humanity, and we'll begin reading, if you would, in verse number 18, where the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I want to preach this evening as we draw our attention, if you would, to a very familiar verse where the Bible says, professing themselves, in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I want to preach this evening on the foolishness of a world that's independent of God. The foolishness of a world that's independent of God. Now, at the beginning of this chapter, we know again that Paul emphasized the gospel. And now he's going to move on and talk really as we read this passage. It seems that the history of man repeats itself. If we look back through the corridors of history, we'd find that history always repeats itself. That the human nature has always been the same. It's never changed. It perhaps manifests itself in different ways, but it has never changed. And there are some basic things that take place in the life of every man, of every human being, that we see happening in this passage. And we could go throughout the Word of God and see this pattern that we find in Romans chapter 1 happen over and over and over and over again throughout the pages of Scripture. Now, what we find in this passage, unlike any other portion of Scripture, is the history of the human race. It reviews for us the whole story of man from the beginning right down until this time. I'm talking about today. Indeed, until the end of time. This is not just the history of the Jews. It is the history of the whole of mankind. It is therefore vital for us to understand this passage in the context of the gospel message, which is what Paul is emphasizing here and trying to stir their hearts and minds concerning. Now, many people have their ideas on human history. And you can read people that have written history books, and typically people have a preset idea about human history, and they interpret things according to really their worldview. And many will give an explanation for why certain things happen in some particular time in the history of humanity. But this passage is not the ideas of man concerning the history of man. This passage is what we have is an explanation of God concerning human history. This is the only explanation of why things are the way they are. You know, we look around us and we're baffled at the things happening. You look around you at the things happening, not just in our own country, but around the world. And there are all kinds of things that are happening, and we kind of have certain ideas about that. But really, this passage helps us to understand why this nation and why the world as a whole is in the condition it is in. And can I say that many times this chapter has been ignored by many people as they look at this passage because they don't want to offend and they perhaps don't want to talk about sin. But can I say that the gospel has really no purpose without dealing with sin? The preacher who does not expose and condemn sin in his sermons may be a popular preacher, but he will not truly convince many of their need of salvation. And so in this passage, we see a clear presentation of human history, and we see what's happened since the beginning in the fall of man and what's continually happened over and over and over again. And it is still happening to this day. We see a clear progression in this passage. I want us to consider this progression. And so first of all, as we look at this passage, we see first of all, number one, man first denies God. Man will first deny God. Now notice in verse 18, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now notice there are three things. First of all, he speaks of the ungodliness. And really, this ungodliness is chiefly a sin that is committed against God. And then he talks about not only ungodliness, but then he talks about unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is sin that's committed against another man or another person. And then he goes on to talk not only about ungodliness, unrighteousness, but he goes on to talk about unbelief. Paul speaks of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. This means that they suppress or they stifle the truth. You know, man's first sin in the Garden of Eden separated man from God. The second sin, Cain's murder of Abel, separated man from man. So what we see here is the beginning of the history of the ages. You see, this idea of ungodliness when Adam and Eve sinned, and we think that, well, it's no big deal, they just took the fruit. No, it was a rebellion against God. It was disobedience to the holy God, and it was a sin that was committed in the sight of God. That's the first thing that takes place, ungodliness. Then there is unrighteousness, and by the way, sin bringeth forth more sin. And what happened as a result of the fall and the ungodliness, then unrighteousness happens. And so now one man became violent towards his own brother and ended up killing him. And then there is unbelief, where this is where now, because we have decided to defy God, where we have decided to be a pain in this world towards our fellow men, and now we have to suppress and stifle the truth. Why? Because the conviction sets in that we need God and we need to get along with our fellow men. And so therefore we have to suppress and stifle the truth. But God holds men accountable for certain basic truths, and the deliberate rejection of these truths in unbelief will be judged. He says in verse number 18, notice verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things from Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see, first of all, man first denies God, and in order to deny God, what he has to do first is he has to deny the Word of God. That's where it begins. Isn't it interesting that if you study at the beginning of human history, that the first doubt that was placed in this world was a doubt upon what God said. If you go with me to Genesis chapter 3, just for a moment, in Genesis chapter 3, we see this recorded for us. And here again, the serpent, the Bible says, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God hath know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so we say, well, where does this idea of denying God and denying His authority over us come from? It begins with denying His Word. It begins with an attack on the Word of God and what God has said. And that's, by the way, been the same throughout history. It was at the beginning when Adam and Eve fell and they were deceived by the devil. And we know that they basically had to get to the place where they said, well, that's what God said, but I guess we're going to choose not to heed to what God has said. The devil's work today is primarily this. He is seeking to get people to deny the validity and the veracity of the Word of God. And if he can do that, then he has discounted our thinking and our appreciation and our faith in the Word of God. And so this humanity, this history of humanity begins with a denial of the Word of God. The Bible talks about you hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, think about it this way. You have the truth, but you hold it in unrighteousness. So the truth is truth. Think about it. The truth doesn't change. Truth is truth. In other words, you're here this evening. That's truth. Now, someone can say, well, you're not really here. But that doesn't matter, because that's not the truth. So someone would be saying that I have the truth, I know what is the truth, yet they hold that same truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they seek to corrupt the truth. They seek to change the truth. They seek to adapt the truth, to twist the truth, and that's exactly what we see from the beginning of creation, and then we see that throughout the pages of Scripture, and we see the attacks today in this world that it's always been against the truth. During the Dark Ages, the Roman Catholic Church would suppress Bibles. You have the people such as the Huguenots who lived in France, and many times they would print really small portions of Scripture. The ladies would hide it in buns in their head, in their hair, so that because the Catholic Church would come throughout the villages and they would find all of the Bibles and they would burn them. Why? Because they did not want the people to have the Word of God. They did not want the people to be able to say, well, you know what? You're saying this, but that's not what God says. That's the work of the devil. The devil has always sought to deny the Word of God. Why? Because think about it. If we have the Word of God removed, what do we know about God? The greatest source for us to be able to know who God is found in the Word of God. And so man first denies God, he denies the Word of God, but number two, he denies the witness of God. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. So notice here, this speaks of the witness that is within every man. Every man has the ability, has the witness, has the testimony of God within him. In other words, God has given light to every man. You say, well, you have a proof of that? Yeah, sure. Go to Romans chapter 2, not too far away. Notice Romans chapter 2, verse number 13. The Bible says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Which, notice, show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. And so again, God has revealed Himself, has given His witness within every man of a moral standard, and that moral standard is the law of God that is written in the heart of every man. And so what man has done throughout the ages is, first of all, well, let's deny the Word of God because we don't want His authority over us. And now the second thing we got to do is we got to deny this moral standard that is within us, where God is being a witness towards us in our conscience and say, look, this is a moral standard. This is what you have to live by. And man will seek to deny, suppress the conscience that God has given with us. That's where it begins. He denies the Word of God. He denies the witness of God. And number three, he denies the worth of God. The Bible tells us in verse number 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So notice here, what do they deny? Well, the Bible talks about how the invisible things from Him, from the creation, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So think about what the Word of God says. The Bible says, as we look at creation around us, as we know of the real spiritual world that is not visible, that is invisible, as we look at the things that we see all around us, and we look at the order and the structure of all things, what man has tried to do throughout the centuries is to deny the worth of God. In other words, because there is a spiritual realm, because there is an evident creation around us, you know what that means to man? It means to man that there is a God who is the Godhead that has authority over man that we will give an account to one day. So, man begins by denying the Word of God. If we deny God, we got to deny His Word. Then we got to deny the moral standard that's present within us, the witness of God within us. But then we also have to deny the fact that He has authority over us. We can't accept that. Because if He's created all things, then He is the Godhead, and we will answer to Him. Right. And to a society that is rebelled against God, that's not acceptable. I quoted just a few weeks ago that one of the famous atheists said, there's no proof for evolution, but the only alternative is God, and that is unfathomable. You see why? Because they don't want to accept that. So the history of humanity begins first by denying God, attacking His Word, attacking the moral standard that He has set forth, and attacking His worth. That's where it begins. By the way, it has not changed. It has not changed. Where is the attack today? The attack today is on the Word of God. Well, you can't trust the Word of God. You can't trust this book. It's not accurate. It's full of mistakes. It's full of... No, there's no mistakes. Every archaeological discovery that's ever been made has agreed 100% with the Word of God. The science that's found in the Word of God is correct according to the science of the day. And so therefore, the Word of God, even though it's been attacked, it's, again, this is the pattern of man to deny God, to deny the witness of God within themselves. You know, when you have people that try to change the moral standard of society, where we say that it's okay to do certain things and to be identified as a certain person that you're not really. I was watching a video that really troubled me. This 42-year-old man, left his wife and his three children to become a 6-year-old girl. Excuse me. He left his family, his wife and his children, to become a 6-year-old girl. And he says, I'm a 6-year-old girl now. He dresses with a little baby, little girl's dress, like my daughters would dress. Puts a bow in his hair. Well, what is he doing? He is denying the witness of the moral standard of God in his life. There's no God. You see, deny also not only the Word of God, the witness of God, but the worth of God. You know, Abraham Lincoln said, I can see how it might be possible for a man to look down upon the earth and be an atheist, but I cannot conceive how he could look up into heaven and say there is no God. One of the French revolutionaries boasted of, to a peasant, he says, we are going to pull down all the reminders of God. And the peasant dryly replied, citizen, pull down the stars then. Leith Samuel, in his record of mystery, says, many missionaries point out that the heathen know more than we think. They know that there is a God. There are no atheists among the heathen tribes. There has never been discovered upon earth a tribe of people, however small or depraved, which has not believed in some kind of God or had some system of worship. The heathen found in so-called primitive tribes know that they have sinned. When a Christian comes to them and talks about sin, he often finds them ready to acknowledge that this is true. The heathen seem to know that their sins must be punished. They seem afraid of the punishment and afraid of death, as most men are everywhere. They know that sin must be atoned for, and they seek ways to appeasing the angry deities of deity. And you'll find that all throughout the world. Why? Because of the truth of the Word of God, the witness within themselves, and the worth of God as they look at creation, and they know of a spiritual realm. Even the most primitive societies will know that, although it's tainted with misunderstanding. But we see first, man first denies God. Number two, here's the progression. Man then deifies himself. Notice what the Bible says. It continues in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness through lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So notice here what happens. Again, this is a progression. This does not happen unless man first denies the Word of God, the witness of God, and the worth of God, and then now man is going to deify himself. Why? Because if there is no God, then I am my own God. And I determine what is right and what is wrong. And I become my own God, or I worship the God that I like to have. And many times you'll meet people. I was talking to a lady just a few months ago as I was knocking on her door, and I asked her how she knew. I think I was with Brandon. And I asked her, I said, how do you know that your system, she believes she would be reincarnated one day? And I asked her, I said, well, what do you base that on? How do you know? He says, that's just what I believe. I said, well, why do you base that on? And she got frustrated. Why? Because there was no basis for her belief. It was her own opinion. She had formed her own God system, her own deity system. Basically, she said, I am my own God. I make up my own rules. I make up my own theology. And you're sure not going to tell me what to believe. You see, man will deify himself. You see, you seek to present the Word of God, and she wanted none of that. Right. Why? Because you have to deny God, the witness within yourself, and the worth of God. And the second thing that happens is you deify yourself. You see, idolatrous worship persists throughout the world. Think about India, for example. All living things are looked upon as sacred. Snakes and crocodiles, monkeys and cows are all venerated in varying degrees. To kill a cow is as bad as murder. Think about that for a moment. That would not work in this society here, I can tell you that. To eat its flesh is an act of cannibalism. India cannot feed its own starving millions of people, yet 200 million head of cattle are allowed to wander far and wide competing with man for food and damaging all of the standing crops. What's happened? Man has deified either himself or has made something deity that was never intended to be deity. You see, you deny God, the witness within yourself, and the worth of God, and the next thing you do, you're making up your own religious system, you're making up your own rules, you're making up your own theology. The Greeks, who were known for their intellect, were a depraved society. When the Romans conquered the Greeks, sarcastically, one of the emperors remarked that he says, it was easier to find a god than a man in Greece. Why? Because they had elevated their intellect and they were worshiping the human body and they were saying basically that you are your own God. And that's been the pattern of history. The Bible says again, they knew God, yet they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. In other words, think about it just a moment. We have the revealed Word of God, and yet there is a society that seeks to deny the record of history that's before them, the record of God and the creation of the world, and instead they don't go to another source, they go to their own imaginations. They don't go to something that has been settled throughout the centuries. They go to their own thinking, their own imaginations, and the Bible says, and because of that, their foolish heart was darkened. They profess themselves to be wise, to be smart, to be the next big thing. But as they profess themselves to be wise, the Bible says they became fools. How is their foolishness manifested? Well, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. What's most puzzling to us is as we study the history of Israel, we find that time and time again during the time of the kings, and we can, as we've been studying the life of Hezekiah, when the kingdom of Israel was divided in half, you had the northern kingdom comprised of the 12 tribes in the north, and then the southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin. And these are southern. In the southern kingdom, we find that in both kingdoms, right there were mostly bad kings, and you'd find that many of those kings brought in idolatrous worship, and you'd find that many times, although they possessed the history of their own, the record of their own history, and God's deliverance from Egypt, and God's provision through the wilderness wanderings and God's victory over the enemy in the promised land. And as they experienced all that, and they had that recorded for them in the pages of history, as God parted the waters and they walked on dry ground and God completely destroyed the army of the Egyptians. And by the way, Egypt never recovered from that defeat. And although they had that record, you'd find that the kings of Israel would get the people together and they said, all right, let's build groves. And Lord, you know what? Let's build you some altars in your own houses and in your own city. We don't have to go to the temple anymore. Let's make our own religious system. Let's not go by the record of God. Let's make our own thing. Let's deify something else. And you'd find a group of people, a group of men and women and children, they'd go to a wooded area, and then you'd see them take their knives and their carving tools, and they would carve some faces and some shapes in the woods. And these would become now their gods. And they would say, as they did for the golden calf, well, these are the people that have delivered us. These are the gods that can help us and that can be a blessing to us. And that, you know what, let's sacrifice to those false gods, because guess what? We're missing the rain and we need the rain. And so let's throw our children in the fire. Let's sacrifice our own children to appease the gods. And yet they had the record of Jehovah God, the only true and living God. But what happened? It began with a denial of God, a denial of the witness of God, a denial of the worth and the authority of God upon their lives. And therefore they deify themselves and they begin to deify everything around them that was not a god. And so you'd find yourself, if you lived in Israel during much of their history, you'd find groups of people bowing down before trees. You'd find groups of people slaughtering their own children to appease the gods, the Jews. You'd find them worshiping. You remember the scene that we have as the prophets of Baal are contending with Elijah, and they're sitting there and he gives them a challenge and he says, all right, you know, I'll call my God to bring down the fire and then you call your God. And he called upon God and the fire came down and the power of God was manifested. And then it was time for the prophets of Baal. Now these were Jews that had turned to a false god. And they were screaming and shouting, send the fire! Send the fire! And the fire would not come. It got so out of control, they thought to themselves, oh, we got to do something more. And they began cutting themselves. And they began inflicting pain upon themselves. Why? Because they had the idea, which was their own imagination. This was not recorded anywhere. They already had a record of God and what God expected of them and what God told them. He says, if you just repent, get right with me, I'll open up the windows of heaven. I'll pour you out a blessing. I'll send the fire. I'll send deliverance. They had the recorded word of God. All they needed to do is accept it by faith. But instead, they chose in their own imagination to imagine things that were not recorded, to make up some things out of thin air that were not accurate. And you see the devastation and the hurt and the misery that was there. Why? Because man has deified himself. And today man has done the same thing. Man has said, we're not going to accept the standard of God, of God's revealed word. I am God, therefore I'm going to determine what this society is going to be like. Instead of allowing God to determine what society is already like. So we see that man, first of all, denies God. Man deifies himself. And thirdly, man becomes depraved. That's the natural progression. The foolishness, this is the foolishness of a society that seeks to live independent of God. It becomes depraved. Verse 26, notice what happens. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense in their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You see, when man denies God and His Word and His witness and His worth, man now becomes and deifies himself and says, I make the rules, it's my own imagination, it's my own set of belief, it's my own theology. And the next thing you find that every society, every time, becomes depraved and becomes a sinful creation in the sight of God. And He lists just a few things here in our passage where we find the immorality and the perverseness of society and the depravity of society, where the Bible says the women change their natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise, also men leaving the natural use of the woman, burn their lust one toward another, men with men. That's homosexuality, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves a recompense of their error, which was meat. You see, the Bible makes it clear that, why is it that there's the behavior out there that is think about it. It is not concealed. It was a time in our society where it was something that was private, something that was not heard of, something that was not discussed in a public place. But now it is promoted. That type of behavior is praised. That type of behavior is encouraged in our children. And says, you might be this. And that is sin in the sight of God. Why? Because they've denied God. They've denied His Word. They've deified themselves. And now they've become depraved. And the beast of the nature of man has been unleashed. And only devastation happens. He says, fornication. That's immorality in the moral standard in society. Wickedness, hostility to good and the decent. This covetousness, never satisfied with their own possessions. There's maliciousness, the desire to injure other people. There is envy, having a hatred towards those that are better than you. There is murder. There's debate. That's a love for strife, being contentious. There's deceit, some people that are not honest. There's malignity, habitual mischievous. There's whispers. That's those that are secret slanderers. There's the backbiters. These are open slanderers. There's the haters of God who blame God for their own trouble and the troubles of humanity. There's those that are despiteful, insolent toward God. There's the proud, those that have self-esteem and pride. There's the boasters, those that are exaggerating one's performance. There's the inventors of evil things, doing evil and getting others involved. There's disobedient to parents without understanding. They're unable to discern truth. They're gullible. They're covenant breakers. They do not keep their word. They're without natural affection. They're implacable. That means unreasonable. They're unmerciful. They have a lack of kindness. They're cruel. And you look at all those things, and we look at our society, and what's the truth? The truth is, as you walk in the society today, the streets aren't safe to walk on, the water's not safe to drink, and there's filth and disease everywhere. Why? Because the society has denied God, has deified itself, and has depraved. And God said, you deny me? You deify yourself? Then go ahead. Go ahead. Do what you want. But you will reap the consequences of that type of behavior. Three times in this passage, the Bible says God gave them up to uncleanness. In verse 24, in verse 26, God gave them up unto vile affections. In verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. But you know what even probably breaks the heart of God even further? In verse 32, we not only see that man will
deny God, deify himself, become depraved.
But we also see that man becomes determined. Verse 32 says this, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things that we've just listed are worthy of death. But it doesn't end there. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know, many times people know the consequences of wicked decisions, yet they still choose to make those decisions. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that Moses refused the pleasures of sin for a season. Why? Because he saw something of greater value. They not only do those things, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Not only do they persist by keeping the sinner sinning in spite of knowing the severe and the just judgment will come for that sinning, but these sinners delight in others doing the same evil deeds. They thus encouraged others to sin. And that's the society we're living in. I watched a little portion of a video where a woman was advocating for abortion. She said this, that abortion should be as easy as the on-demand button on your remote control. To get an abortion should be as easy as hitting the on-demand button on your remote control. Encouraging, and then she sang a song encouraging people to have abortions. Where does that leave us? To be honest with you, that's pretty discouraging, isn't it? You read throughout that passage, and you look around us and say, wow, it's been true in human history, it's true today. Well, let's think back to the beginning of the chapter where the Apostle Paul said that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why? For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. What is it that can change a society that's depraved? What is it that can change a determined society to sin and to encourage sin? What is it that can stand against the depravity of humanity and all those things that are listed? What is it that can stand against those that deify themselves and say, I'm God? What is it that can stand against those that deny God? It is the power of the gospel. You see, it is the power of the gospel as it launches out from First Aid Baptist Church that changes people's lives, and it can change somebody's life. To where someone has been determined in their sin, has been depraved, has denied God, has deified himself, can be saved by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul says. It is the power of God unto salvation. That's the answer. Can I say sin has to be dealt with? Right. And the Apostle Paul deals with the sin of humanity. We see a perfect example of that in Genesis chapter number 6. And we know the record of the Tower of Babel. And the Bible says, and the Lord said in verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart.
And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, and it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I think I said the Tower of Babel to Noah. The days of Noah were an evil day where people denied the word of God, deified themselves, and became depraved. God steps in and judgment falls. We see that repeated in the Tower of Babel. We see that repeated after the Ten Commandments were given and the people rebelled against God and they erected a golden calf and the earth opened up and swallowed those that had rebelled against God. And every time it's the same progression. This is the story of human history. The progression that is found over and over and over again. And the Apostle Paul says, that's how you stop it. The power of the gospel. Many times people will get involved in a political campaign and try to do things politically to change society. Although I'm glad that there are people that are doing that, can I say that that is not the emphasis of the church? The emphasis of the church is to penetrate a dark world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because there is no reasoning with a depraved society. The only thing that is going to change the hearts and the minds of people is for them to be born again by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how important this passage is. As Paul says, we have the gospel, and here's the world we're living in. The world hasn't changed a whole lot, has it, since then? Still the same. But guess what? The message is still the same. The gospel is still the same. Amen. And the gospel still works. Amen. It still works. Amen. Let's pray.